Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We come to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Monday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Appreciate you getting up with us. We have another draft that is in the books, and we are wall-to-wall today. Man, there's... You texted me on Saturday, Seth. I think Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember. But you're like, there's so much stuff.
Oh, my gosh. So much stuff everywhere. You know, the part of it is these damn athletes, and they're doing their own podcast now. Yeah. So just CJ alone. CJ and Micah Parsons alone, we could do a whole extra show on those two.
Yeah. Yeah, they're quite the duo, man. It's good to be with you. The draft is done. We are wall-to-wall on that today. We got a lot of other stuff to mix in. Hope you had a great weekend. Man, we could have been coming in here on a much darker note today if things had gone differently yesterday. We're going to get to the draft in a minute, and that's what we'll be mostly on today. But that Tank Dell story out of nowhere on Sunday afternoon, I'm like, okay, I gotta check and see if this would be a really morbid fake Schefter tweet for somebody to have.
You right, know? And for those of you who don't know or only vaguely know about it, Tank Dell was shot at a nightclub a couple nights ago. He was one of 10 people shot when a 16-year-old was either shooting at somebody or shooting into a crowd, and Tank apparently got caught in the crossfire. And everybody has minor injuries, so this is where I get a little, there's the side of me that, okay, doesn't seem like anybody was injured seriously or killed, thank goodness, but a non-serious shooting injury in real life is different than a shooting injury and how it applies to football. Right. So if we could separate it into two things. All right, Tank is safe and healthy.
Yeah.
Or like, it is not life-threatening whatsoever. What is a minor injury when it comes to a shooting? Because if one of my kids got shot, I don't care about whether they're playing football or not. Right. I just, okay, it's a minor injury.
Yeah.
They're going to live. They're going to be fine. But in the other world, it's a little bit, okay, we'll get more details
as
things unfold.
If he, grazed the leg, yeah, could there be a leg injury? And Tank's already coming back from an injury, too,
right,
from the football season. So, yeah, you're right, Seth. Like, we've got the details that we need as far as Tank, the human being, we've got. He's alive. He reportedly was flying back to Houston yesterday. So, I'm assuming he's back in town now. So that's all good. And I'm guessing we'll get more information as the week goes on. We expect to have Nick Caserio on with us this week, I would think, either maybe tomorrow or Wednesday. I'm still finalizing that, still nailing that down. But Nick is going to join us to talk about the draft. But obviously Tank will be a question. I would hope we get more information here as the next 24 hours rolls out.
Oh, I'm sure we will. You know, the fact that he was flying and everything was...
Yeah.
Obviously, a couple people reached out to me saying that D'Amico needs to have a heart-to-heart with Tank. And I feel like that is a huge leap to conclusions, in blaming the victim, that somehow... As far as... He's a young man out at a nightclub. And other than that, it sounds like... So far, everything reported is that he was completely innocent and just happened to have really bad luck. It wasn't like he was targeted for any reason whatsoever, and it's one of those unfortunate, awful things that happen. And just, again, it obviously could have been way more tragic.
Yep. So shout out to Tank Dell. Glad everything is, you know, I guess worked out as best it can in a situation like that. So so there's that off the top. Now, the rest of the weekend was spent stockpiling the roster with new players. So the Texans have 9 new draft picks. They did sign a few undrafted free agents over the weekend as well. And this is the first chance you and I get to dig in on any of this on our show, Seth. You did the draft. Mm-hmm. You did the draft show on Friday night with the 2 seconds and the 3rd round pick. I was on there on Saturday with John Harris when they drafted Cade Stover. They went on to add 5 more guys in the later rounds. So it's interesting. Like the draft in totality kind of went a little bit the opposite of the way I thought it might go with the talent reportedly dropping off because of all the NIL and guys staying in school. They loaded up in the 6th and 7th rounds of the draft on kind of experienced older guys.
I think that's the thing, though. I feel like that goes exactly the way you would have expected, which is that it's unfortunate for the Texans, and I'm very happy with this draft class. I think that there's a certain effect that goes on after a draft where if you have high draft picks and if you draft name brand players, like people who you recognize and have been talked about, then people think it's overwhelmingly an awesome pick. Whereas if you draft guys that a lot of people haven't heard of, they're down on it, or it's just naturally not as exciting. But I do think that the reports were true because Nick talked about it. Nick was trying to trade back up into the 1st round on Thursday night. They were trying to trade up in the 2nd round on the 2nd night. Either, presumably, he talked about the defensive tackles. He acknowledged that they would have liked some of the defensive tackles that were drafted earlier in the 2nd round. 2 teams left above the Texans to draft defensive backs as the Texans drafted a defensive back. And I think that the devaluation of the later round picks, because there were so few underclassmen, I think it really kept Nick from maneuvering as much as he probably would have liked to.
Yeah.
So the theory that Nick likes to try to find bands of player, I think it was 100% borne out, because there was a band of defensive tackles. 4 defensive tackles taken in 5 picks early in the 2nd round.
Yep.
3 defensive backs taken in succession right there when the Texans drafted. Like, all of that, I think, is exactly how Nick would have seen it play out. He just wasn't able to maneuver the way he would have liked to.
Yeah, I would say the biggest surprise, and we're going to keep the conversation today, I would imagine, Seth, kind of compartmentalized to the first 4 guys they drafted, as opposed to the guys they drafted in the 6th and 7th round. So I wouldn't worry too much that we're going to get hyper nerdy on the 6th and 7th round guys, although there are some interesting players down there. But I think like the bulk of this draft class, if you're grading it at all, and we'll get into how the pundits around the country think the Texans did. Kamari Lassiter with the 42nd pick, cornerback out of Georgia, and then Blake Fisher, who to me is the most intriguing pick just based on position, the tackle out of Notre Dame. And then in the 3rd round, they move up to get Kalen Bullock, the safety out of USC. People seem to really like that pick. And then Cade Stover, it sounds like he might be the favorite player that Nick Caserio has ever drafted in 4 seasons here.
I was surprised. Yeah, immediately after the pick, I was surprised because, you know, I tried to stay off Twitter for the most part during the draft because it's just too much information.
They spoil things. They tweet out the picks before they happen.
I don't even worry about that. I'm more just like, I don't want to get distracted.
Yeah.
And I just saw a few comments from about addressing the fact that so many Texans fans were upset about the Cade Stover pick. And I don't know if you've done a poll on it or not. I was very pleased with that. And I thought the fans would be because there was the name recognition that people love so much.
Oh, yeah.
But also, obviously, the C.J. Stroud connection. And also, as multiple draft analysts said, that like Mel Kiper had that as one of his 5 best value picks.
Yeah.
Matt Miller, same thing. A lot of the different draft analysts looked at that as maybe one of the best picks the Texans had. So I think Cade Stover, my reservations about him as a blocker, after I dug more into it, I realized, okay, I'm being kind of tough on a kid that just started playing tight end, because he's definitely willing to block, and he was a running back and defensive end in high school, went to Ohio State as a defensive end. He's really just learning the position, and there's parts of him as a receiver especially that look very fluid that you would never guess that he's just learning the position. So I thought I was very, very happy with the Cade Stover pick.
Dude, that the tight end position has gone in 1 season for the Texans, like from a pre-Dalton Schultz from like a barren wasteland to now you got Dalton Schultz and Cade Stover as your two tight ends.
Well,
and I know Stover's a rookie and he hasn't taken a snap yet, but boy,
right.
It looks like there's a lot to work with there.
Well, and also, you know, Brevin Jordan did some interesting things in the second half.
For
of the
sure,
season.
Yeah.
Them using him as kind of a flex guy that can line up in the backfield, split up, line him up all over the place. There was some value there. Now, he's going to be a free agent after this year, so who knows what happens with that. But for this year, it could be really interesting with the tight ends.
Yeah.
And especially if Cade Stover can pick up some blocking technique along the way.
Yeah, you got Schultz and Stover now for the next three seasons. Stover for four, but you got those two guys at least together for three seasons. That's pretty exciting. Let me ask you this. What did you – I didn't get to hear you at the draft party. I was at the draft party. I was busy partying. So I haven't gotten to get your take yet on the Texans taking Blake Fisher with the 59th pick, taking a tackle there in the second round.
I think that I don't want to call it best player available, although it certainly seems like that's what it was.
The philosophy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that they see a lot of upside with Blake Fisher just because of his length and his athleticism. He's a classic 6'6", 310-pound rookie who's going to have to learn to play a little bit lower. He's going to have to, you know, I think kind of like Charlie Heck was a few years ago, there's some just natural maturation and strength that he needs to add. But as a run blocker, he shows us a real willingness to get down and root guys out, to finish guys. He likes to drive guys into the dirt when he can. There's just times where he plays kind of high and gets caught up underneath his pads. But as a pass blocker, I think the fact that he's able to get lower than shorter guys in the run game makes me feel better about his ability to bend his knees more. Sometimes these tall guys in college they get away with being really long and lanky. They just gotta refine it when they get to the NFL.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, obviously watched a lot of him because where he went to school. He's a good player. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if that's how robust that competition is at tackle. We know that they've got heavy investments in Tunsil and in Titus Howard. Blake Fisher was a right tackle at Notre Dame, so it would appear like Howard would be the one he'd be competing with, or are they doing something where they try to get the five best on the field? Nick was asked about that over the weekend, you know, like, hey, does he have any potential at guard? And Nick kind of pumped the brakes on that. So that'll be interesting to watch play out. Kamari Lassiter was the top pick in this draft class, 42nd overall. He had the unfortunate, at least at the draft party, the unfortunate sequence of being drafted right after Kool-Aid McKinstry, who I sensed a lot of the people that were drinking beers out at the draft party wanted. And then Kamari Lassiter goes, and obviously a good play. You're drafting a cornerback out of Georgia. These days, that's about the same as drafting a cornerback out of Alabama, if not better. I contend, Seth, that if Kamari Lassiter's first name were Kool-Aid, that people would have been just as happy about that as they were sad that Kool-Aid McKinstry went off the board.
It's, yeah.
Sorry, fans, I don't mean to.
It's a guy named
90% Kool-Aid. Of you. The rest of you, the 10%, you broke down all the film on both these guys, I'm sure.
If we look at that, again, it was a bad. I said three defensive backs drafted in a row. It's four defensive backs drafted in a row right there.
Mm-hmm.
This is where, in the long term, what you hope is that Nick's strategy of, like, he likes the idea of having groups of players that you feel similarly about.
Because
what happens is teams, just like the Eagles, look, the Eagles obviously really liked Cooper DeJean. They traded up above the Texans to get Cooper DeJean. And just flashback to several years ago when, you know, the Eagles really, really liked Andre Dillard. And that was the guy to draft. And, man, the Texans were just such schmucks for letting the Eagles do that to him. Like, there's a price you pay for confidence in your own opinion. Because Andre Dillard now is on his third or fourth NFL team, just has not worked out, and Titus Howard has been a much better pick. You could argue that they shouldn't have given him the contract or whatever, but whatever. So I think that's where Nick was. I think he liked probably those three or four defensive backs about the same, and he wasn't going to be overly aggressive trying to trade up. Time will tell what the right pick was.
Yep, we'll see. All right, report card time. Nick Caserio hates draft grades. He hates report cards, but you know who loves them? Sports Talk Radio. How are the experts grading the Texans draft? We're going to give you the Texans' final GPA for the 2024 draft coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, good to be with you. It is a Reaction Monday NFL Draft. This past weekend, Texans come away with 9 new draftees. We'll meet them at the top of the hour. We'll do a little meet the rookie class at the top of the hour. We got headlines coming up. Astros get a sweep this weekend in Mexico City. I thought it was a little over the top that their social media decided to talk about taking the brooms out for the Colorado Rockies in Mexico City when you're 9-19.
Hey, little Sean, victories. There's one thing I've relented on as I've got older. I've stopped trying to be such a hardo, to use Landry's word. And you got to celebrate the tiny victories, man. You want to get on track with something. Stop. Think about this, Sean.
Yeah.
Like in anything in life that you do, there's things that you're like, oh, why can't I do this? It's so stupid. You're having difficulty doing it. Start celebrating the small victories because
right.
It's obviously an obstacle. So for the Astros, simply winning baseball games had turned into a major task and obstacle. So when you win them, celebrate those victories. It'll help get you on track.
Form
the habit.
I'm with you. Sometimes we conflate the manager of the digital social media side of things with the actual manager of the baseball team. It's not like
Espada was all over his own TikTok doing dances and everything.
Like Espada walked to the podium with a broom over his shoulder.
Espada was doing that country dance that I see all over the place, but with a broom in his hand.
Right.
Where you kick your feet out and everything.
Yep. Take that, Rockies. All right. So the draft was this weekend, and we know from their pre-draft press conference, or from his pre-draft press conference, that Nick Caserio does not like draft grades and report cards at all.
We're going to have on Monday, right, or Sunday afternoon, draft grades, right? I mean, it's the most ridiculous concept that I've ever heard of. Like, the players haven't even been in the building yet, and we're making an assessment about their performance.
Damn right we are. We're about to do it for the next 15 minutes.
I'll do them one better. I gave Blake Fisher a good grade for his video from the Texans locker room. I thought it was fantastic.
Solid.
Not to mention, if anybody saw Keon Coleman's press conference,
we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
I give him an A+.
I'm mad at Nick for not trading up to get Keon Coleman after his press conference.
We've got TikTok videos to do here, Nick.
I know.
Come on, Keon Coleman is gold.
You gotta prioritize the right stuff, man. All right, so let's do that. Let's go through this frivolous exercise of seeing what the experts think of the Texans draft class. And the first two that I'm going to get to here were two of the draft analysts that we canceled before the draft because of their analysis of the Texans taking a tackle with the 42nd pick.
Well, no, we only canceled them if they had the Texans taking a tackle and they didn't address the fact that Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard were already there.
Right.
We didn't cancel them for taking a tackle. Yeah. We canceled them because they projected a tackle in the first round without any mention at all of Titus Howard or Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah, not just there, but extended last offseason, both of them, like committed to. So Mel Kiper, you're out of Payne and Pendergast draft jail. And you're onto the radar here with your report card. We'll hear Mel Kiper Jr., Seth, gives the Texans a B+. Mm-hmm. A B+ for their draft, and says for a team without a first round pick, Houston had a nice Friday, filled a void at corner with Kamari Lassiter. He consistently locked down corners at Georgia, 2.8 yards per attempt as a primary defender. Kamari Lassiter had some good numbers last year as far as just shutting guys down. He says Blake Fisher had a chance to be a first rounder if he came back to Notre Dame this year. He'd be a first rounder next year, and the Texans get him, and Kalen Bullock had 9 interceptions in college, good center field type safety, And as you pointed out, tight end Kate Stover made Mel Kiper Jr.'s favorite pick list at 123.
Right, right. Yeah, the Cade Stover pick, I think, ended up being, and it's a perfect match, too. You know, the old, especially when you get into the mid-rounds, you know, there are much better places for some players than others. And I think, obviously, the connection with C.J. Stroud is going to help him right off the bat. I think the Texans probably had very good word of mouth from C.J. And I do think, I think C.J. is, I would guess he's pretty frank in discussing his former teammates with the Texans, because he is all about just flat out, like, all right, it's about winning, you know? Like, I don't think he was going to blow smoke up Nick's butt just because he's a Buckeye. So I would imagine CJ gave him really good word of mouth. And I think the only thing I would say is, if you're grading just the names and the performances and everything, then there's that level of grade. I also like to look, though, at, okay, what was this GM trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought some things about Nick's strategy were borne out well, but there were other things, like the very fact that I think he was definitely trying to trade up for either a defensive tackle or a cornerback, and he wasn't able to do that. So in that regard, I think they might have underestimated just how devalued the later round picks were, and he just didn't have the capital to get up there, or at least the price was too high.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you go, well, you can always move back into the first round. Like, well, it's not that easy. You got to find a willing partner, and you got to find a price. And meanwhile, you're doing it while you're on the clock. You know, you got 10 minutes to do it. It's not like you got all day to sit there and go back and forth, texts and things like that.
Right. If you're in the bar at 12:50 a.m. in a place where the closing time is, 12:50 a.m. In closing time is 1 a.m. It's not like, hey, you got plenty of time to find a lady.
No.
No, you got to get to work.
You got to close.
You
got to
get hustling.
That's right.
You got to start throwing seventh round picks at these ladies.
Sometimes they don't take those late round picks, man. I'm telling you.
You try to go into a strip club with a seventh round pick these days. Good luck.
Hey, yeah. Is Chad Reuter the one that grades really easy?
Yeah, because he works for NFL.com.
Okay.
And the worst grade he'll give is a B-.
Okay, well, not shockingly.
Typically. Every now and then he'll give a C.
Not shockingly. All right, so if you get a C-plus or lower from Chad Reuter, you really got, like, a D-.
It's basically like you got kicked out of school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, then you can suck at Cleveland and your C-plus from Chad Reuter.
Guess what he gave the Falcons?
What?
C-plus.
C-plus.
Yeah, so
the team that's getting widely panned for taking a quarterback with the 8th overall pick. He gave the Texans an A-. An A-minus for the Houston Texans and Chad Reuter, who, by the way, was also canceled by Payne and Pendergast. He's out of cancellation jail now, so you've got a clemency now.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through Chad Reuter right now, and I have seen the only C I've seen was the Falcons so far, and I'm all the way down to the Saints.
Cleveland got a C-plus. The Browns got a C-plus, too. Houston built on the momentum from last season's playoff run with a strong plan. Pre-draft trade netted the Texans a second rounder and didn't prevent them from addressing a roster sore spot with Kamari Lassiter. Says Stover was an excellent choice in round 4. He'll be reunited with C.J. Stroud. Acquiring veteran running back Joe Mixon for a 7th round pick earlier this offseason also factors into the draft grade above. So he's mixing Joe. He's no pun intended, mixing Joe Mixon into the it's completely unintentional. I promise.
Whatever.
You.
But I see it in the notes. It's right here in the notes. You put it in
screw
bold.
Screw you. Not true.
And then after you put in brackets, you said, "Am I right, Seth?"
Yeah, that's right. Hashtag Am I right? So A minus from Chad Reuter.
Good job, Chad Reuter.
Yep.
I think the Lassiter pick preventing the cornerback spot from being a sore spot, you know, obviously if Lassiter works out, that's the case. I do think that I am intrigued now by the competition at cornerback because you've got a whole lot of talent there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at least one of Okuda or Henderson will make the team. And you've added athleticism with those two guys there. So I'm starting to get intrigued by the cornerback position.
Matt Verderame of SI.com gave them a B-. For the sake of time, let's go to the worst grade that the Texans got. And I feel like Pete Prisco is probably like the anti-Chad Reuter. CBSSports.com.
It's hard to win his approval. He's he's a disapproving father, he is.
Yeah. So this would be one where the Texans...
I'm going through Prisco's grades.
Yeah.
there's like two A's
right.
along the whole. He's a right. tough grader. Yeah.
He's the professor you're trying to explain to your parents, like, no, a C is really, really good in this guy's class.
Yeah.
You know, because he's a hard grader. He gives the Texans a C plus. C plus for the Texans. Best pick, Kalen Bullock, rangy safety who will give him depth this season, but will eventually mm-hmm. become a starter. He can run. Worst pick, says he didn't like the pick of Kamari Lassiter in the second round. I think there were better options where when he went, guys like Mike Sainristil, the slot corner out of Michigan.
Yeah.
Says Lassiter ran a 4.64 at his pro day. I'm going to tell you something Nick Caserio does not want to hear about right now. Two things. Report cards that Seth and I are doing in this very segment. And two, 40 times where a guy like Kamari Lassiter is a 10th or a 10th and a half second slower than guys that got picked ahead of him.
You know, one thing I noticed this draft is I think this year really, maybe it's, I think teams, certain teams have been using the GPS data, the tracking data, for a while now. And this is one of the things I think Nick really likes about why he's really only drafts Power 5 guys. It happened again this year, only guys from big conferences. You get that GPS data matched with going against future NFL talent, and I think you get a much better feel for how fast these guys actually are,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the guys that run good 40s and have good three-cone drills, but it doesn't show up on the field. So I don't worry about that. Yeah, Prisco says he would have liked Sainristil better. Like, Sainristil is a... I mean, I don't even care if I pronounce his name correctly. He is a lightweight slot corner, and I just don't know if... I don't know if that's in D'Amico's bag. D'Amico wants guys like, if he's got a slot corner, he wants a guy like Dez King that can come up and smack him in the mouth,
yes.
too. So, I wouldn't downgrade it based on Lassiter versus anybody else. Now, if the Texans were trying to move up to draft Terrion Arnold from Alabama in the first round, that's a comparison that, man, I would not be surprised if the Texans absolutely loved Terrion Arnold.
Agreed. The other grades, B from Charles McDonald, Yahoo Sports, a B-plus from Trevor Sikkema, ProFootballFocus.com. You throw those six report cards into the mix, and the final GPA for the Houston Texans, Seth, 3.05, according to these six outlets that I found report cards from.
You know, that's good. It's not good, but if they really nail the LSATs, they might get into law school. You're going to have to apply to a bunch of places, but still, there you go.
Yeah, the MCATs, they can go to, they can still be a doctor. It's okay.
How about that 305 of the doctor? you can go be a lawyer somewhere, okay?
I was about to ask you, would you rather your doctor have a 305 or your lawyer have a 3.05?
Is your last name Vanderbilt? I don't know.
You're right.
You're not getting into med school with that.
That's right. Some good text messages. People are thinking on their feet this morning on the draft. Is Blake Fisher a message pick? I like that.
Oh, message pick. If you're drafting somebody to send a message, then that dude is cut already. Yeah. Like the guy that, like if that, if,
and obviously if they're making, referring to Titus yeah. Howard. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if the prospect of winning championships, making millions of dollars, doing anything else isn't enough to get the message, then, yeah, them drafting a guy in the second round isn't going to send a message either. I think that Nick afterwards said, look, you flat out need a third offensive tackle. I think it sends a message to us, maybe, if you read the tea leaves, that maybe Charlie Heck needs to really step it up. Because as of right now, when I watch Blake Fisher, I'll be surprised if he supplants Titus Howard this year. And I also, like, Nick flat out said he thinks Titus Howard is one of the better tackles
in
the league.
He did.
I think that there's something going on where people forget that Titus Howard has not really actually played his chosen position all that much lately. Like they look at his performance at guard and think that means he's a bad tackle. So I don't think it's a message pick. I think it's a genuine... You want a third offensive tackle, and you'd like that third offensive tackle to be able to develop into a starter someday. And, yeah, and then maybe a year or two from now they move on from Titus Howard. But I don't know if I'd call it a message pick.
Yeah, a lot of people like the Stover pick. Stover, my favorite pick in the draft. If CJ vouched for him, that's good enough for me. And I think something to point out, again, like you said, Seth, like I don't think CJ's just going to give praise for a guy because he played with him at Ohio State. Like,
right.
CJ's going to get... Now, maybe if CJ were on a podcast or something like that and someone asked him about Cade Stover and he was, like, lukewarm on him, he wouldn't throw the guy under the bus. But behind closed doors, I mean, CJ wants to win. He wants good players around him. He's not looking for a family reunion on Sunday.
Right. Yeah, I think that connection will be nice, too.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Reaction Monday. So good job. 3.05, Nick. You got a B. So you have a GPA of a B, and I can tell from the audio we played earlier, you could give a damn about that.
I can't wait to tell him all about it.
Oh, no, I'm going to tell him. When we get him on, we're going to see what he thinks of his GPA for sure.
We got to have him go. We'll go down through every single one. We might have to read him Prisco's.
Yes.
Prisco was – so when I was a young player in Jacksonville, Prisco was the beat writer. Yeah. And Prisco would go at Tom Coughlin. It was actually pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Like they battled. Kind of the same way that guy in Tennessee used to battle Vrabel.
Too harsh.
They were like – yeah. It was fun to watch as a player. Because you're kind of like, yeah,
it's brave.
Stick it to him, Vrabel.
Right.
Or stick it to him, Prisco.
You're the voice of the voiceless right now for us. Yeah. Thanks, Prisco. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's get to some headlines. Update, no new update, but if you haven't heard the news, I shouldn't tease that. Tank Dell was involved. If you haven't heard the news, he was one of 10 people that were victims that were involved in a mass shooting in Florida. He's okay. They've repaired the wounds, and he was on a plane back to Houston yesterday. It doesn't appear to be serious, but we'll get more news on that as things roll out. So we'll hit that in headlines, the draft, the Astros sweep the Rockies. We've got some NBA playoff updates as well. We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with the Texans and the Tank Dell news. Came down yesterday afternoon, and Tank Dell, if you missed the news, he was one of a handful of victims, 10 in total, involved in a shooting in Sanford, Florida at a private event on Saturday night. The shooting took place early Sunday morning, like just after midnight. No casualties. In fact, everybody, the 10 victims, all treated at a local medical facility, including Tank Dell. And he's back. He presumably is back in Houston. He was traveling back here yesterday. The Texans put out a statement yesterday afternoon saying, "We've been made aware that Tank Dell was a victim of a shooting in Sanford, Florida last night. He sustained a minor wound, but has been released from the hospital, and he is in good spirits. We are in contact with him and his family. and will provide more updates when appropriate. But we ask that you please respect his privacy at this time. Thoughts and prayers with everyone involved in the incident. The shooter was a 16-year-old. There was an altercation at the party. Some video surfaced I saw last night, Seth, of the actual melee that had ensued. The video is kind of choppy. The video is very choppy, but you can see the melee ensuing and then some footage of people, like, you know, running for cover. You can hear the shots. It's the same jarring stuff we feel like we see way too much. But yeah, 16-year-old shooter who's been apprehended and charged with all sorts of different felonies potentially.
I'd imagine so. So, you know, obviously there's the human side of thing, which is thank goodness that nobody was seriously injured. But then there's the football side of things where you wonder, okay, when it comes to shootings, a minor injury is usually like, oh, thank goodness, it's not life-threatening. But when it comes to football, that same injury might be a little bit more football-threatening.
Maybe.
So, I don't know. Who are the notable guys who got shot with minor injuries, but it affected? Like, Joey Porter got shot in the butt.
Dude, I have no idea.
And I think he missed some time with that, right? So, like, that's a minor. Remember. You get shot in the buttocks. Like, it's not a life-threatening injury. I would call it a minor injury, but you try to play football, then that's a whole different deal.
Yeah.
You know, Forrest Gump. You know, Forrest Gump right. got shot in the buttocks.
He did.
But he was able to carry his friend out of danger, right?
He was. Yeah. The adrenaline kicked in, yeah. Him being on a plane 12 hours afterwards is probably a pretty good sign, I would say, that he's flying.
And to be clear, everybody, I don't know if I doubt it was a shot in the buttocks if he was sitting on an airplane.
Right. Yeah. So Tank Dell back in Houston, and I'm guessing we'll learn more as the week rolls on. Meanwhile, the draft took place over the weekend. Texans picks were all on Friday and Saturday. They've got 9 new rookies plus a few undrafted free agents that they signed. D'Amico Ryans is excited about the class they've brought in.
We're very excited about all the guys that we brought in. Feel like all these guys are quality players that add to the depth, add to the competition of our team, and so we're excited about the guys. We like all the guys that we were able to pick, and we want to work with these guys, and we're fired up about it.
You have a favorite pick in this draft by them, Seth?
Okay, I'm a little bit torn on that. I think Cade Stover is the go-to, because it feels like, at least according to draft nicks and whatnot, that was the value pick. I like the upside of Cade Stover in that he's still learning the tight end position. And he's got a toughness about him. He's everything you expect a farm kid to be. Like he just certainly doesn't look like he's afraid to get his hands dirty. And some of my concerns and reservations about the blocking are definitely, like, after watching and listening to people, it's more a matter of just needing more time and just more technique and more reps at it than it is anything else. He's willing to do it, but he also, this is the modern NFL where that's not a deal breaker anyway if a guy's not an awesome blocker.
He was a good interview on the draft show on Saturday when I was hosting. He cursed. He's 1-for-1 and getting dumped in interviews as a Houston Texan.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
He and I can bond over farming and cursing on the radio.
Yeah. That's right.
He did it. It took me until my seventh year in the NFL before I got dumped on the radio for cursing.
Yeah.
He's already right. He's like a seasoned vet already.
Oh, he's a prodigy, this kid. He's a prodigy.
You got to remember, though, I feel like it happens more these days because these kids get used to being on podcasts where you can say anything.
Yeah.
And then they don't even know the FCC exists.
Yeah.
So they get on the radio and they don't even, you know, they got no filters.
That's what I told when he did it. I'm like, hey, Cade, we're not on a podcast. That's exactly what I said to him. We'll play that audio for you. Censored, of course, but we'll play it in Acknowledge Me. Cade, spoiler alert, Cade's going to get acknowledged. And to be clear, he wasn't cursing up a storm because he was mad he dropped to the fourth round or trying to be gung-ho and whatnot. He was talking about a smoker that he built, and he said it just didn't operate all that well, except he used an adjective.
That's right. Yeah, he said it was a poorly built smoker.
Yes, and not so many
words. It was basically manure is what it was.
Right. It was manure-y. Texans draft. We're going to be talking wall-to-wall about the Texans draft today. So that's in the books. As far as the NFL draft goes, I would say that most of the storylines were night one. You know, this was a pretty ho-hum week. I mean, it was cool. It's the draft. Yeah. I'll watch it from beginning to end. But there was nothing. I would say probably the most noteworthy thing as I was doing day three, Seth, the first 4 hours of day three, the only thing that was really jumping out of significance was the fact, like, holy crap, we are going a long time without any quarterbacks going off the board.
Right, because they all got drafted in the top 12.
Right,
picks.
Right. Like, six get drafted in the top 12.
Guys that should have gotten drafted, honestly, like, in the fifth round are now going in the first
round. In the top 12.
It's just, the NFL can go die, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to the way they got to quit it. They got to quit it with this quarterback nonsense.
We went from pick 12 to pick 150 without a quarterback. It was wild.
Yeah.
Like, none the day that you were on day two, zero.
I feel like, you know what, and honestly, I do feel like that's evidence. Like, of what I've always said is, like, man, so many of these guys that previously would have gone in the second, third, or fourth round are getting drafted in the top 15.
You've been justified, for sure, for
justified. Sure. The other one, big one, too, is the Falcons. I haven't reconsidered my opinion on the Falcons. The only thing, sometimes when something looks really stupid, you got to step back and ask yourself, all right, what information would make this not stupid?
Yeah.
And I'm really starting to wonder if like, Kirk Cousins' Achilles, you know, the fact that they seem to be awful eager to get in on the physicals and chatting with the trainers and everything during the process. I wonder how Kirk Cousins' Achilles actually is.
God, if there's any, like, questions to where you got to draft a quarterback about it, what were you doing spending $180 million on the guy?
Well, yeah, that would be the stupid thing.
Yeah.
But it would make the Penix, at least the Penix thing would look better.
Yeah.
Because it would be like, oh, okay, well, they really screwed up, but at least this was, they got to figure out a backup plan.
They've done something stupid. We're just not sure which it is yet.
Who would have thought a guy in his upper 30s with an Achilles tendon tear might not be ready
next year? That's right. Hey, Seth, the Astros won two games in Mexico City this weekend.
They slapped down the hated Colorado Rockies.
Yep, 12-4 on Saturday, 8-2 on Sunday. So two blowout wins. I think the most significant thing to come out of this weekend, because I like the 12 runs and the 8 runs against the Rockies in Mexico City, is like
what's the elevation? Is it 12,000 feet?
They showed a graphic yesterday. It was 7,000. The stadium was at 7,300 feet.
Yeah, that was. Is it the fifth highest city in the world? Yeah. I don't know, major city, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. It's high. I'm not sure.
So I don't take much from the offensive stats. Fromber having a solid 5-inning outing, though, in that environment, coming back from the elbow, that's significant. You know, because I saw a stat yesterday, I think it was Wexler, tweeted that when it's Fromber, Justin Verlander, Christian Javier, or Ronel Blanco starting this year, they're 7-0 with an ERA under 2. When it's anybody else, the ERA is like 9, the bullpen's ERA is like 9.
Yeah.
Every other pitcher on this staff is 2-19 this season. Those four guys are 7-0. So, like, okay, but they've all been banged up at some point. Other than Blanco, they've all been banged up at some point this year.
You can say all you want about Fromber pitching well, recovering from a scary inning, all of that. He fielded a ground ball and threw to first without issue. That's a big deal for Fromber. That's it. He might be better than before he was injured.
And Joey Loperfido is a Houston Astro. Got called up last night.
Way to go, Astros. You've ruined another young prospect.
Not
I'm
yet.
Talking about the players themselves.
Yeah.
Not the Astros have no, they've got to bring him up. They've got no choice.
Yeah.
And yet I will blame the players for ruining another young prospect.
There you go.
He's going to come up and he's going to strike out 73% of the time. And way to go.
We'll see how he's used. I mean, he's an outfielder by trade who's kind of picking up first base as he goes. My guess is he's going to be used more as an outfielder than a first baseman. We'll see.
If you put any human being with a Hi-Li glove at first base, they'd be better than Jose Abreu.
Hi-Li glove. Base. It's called a cesta, Seth, is what it's called.
Cesta.
Yeah.
I refuse to believe that's what it's called.
That's what it's called.
It's a Hi-Li basket.
It's a cesta, and they play in a fronton, okay?
Hey, you know what?
There's a Hi-Li fronton 10 minutes from my house growing up.
You know what'll make you feel old, Sean? When you were gone, when you abandoned me for those few days, and Sean Bajani was in, you know, they show Hi-Li on ESPN every now and then in the studio. It's not, you know, and Sean looked up and he didn't know what it was on. I'm like, oh my God, has it been that long? And was I that young when Hi-Li was a thing?
It's on the, you know what it is, Seth? It's on the station that carries the ash. It's on Space City Home Network. And that when that's on in the studio here, like that's some of their filler material.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss the infomercials.
Oh, dude, the
80s? Hi-Li?
Yeah.
You kidding me? All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's get to know the rookie class. Getting to know our rookies. There's a certain Sports Radio 610 personality that I think is going to take a real liking to Kamari Lassiter. We will have that for you coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.